We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Man, saving the world one soundbite at a time, throwing truth bombs everywhere we go. Robbie from Adiana just texted in and says, you killed it with the hair sniffing comment. I wish I could say it was original, man. I saw that on somebody's meme, but it was still a hoot. All right, so we're going to switch dippers now, and this one is just, you know, you look at it and go, wow, we are at the precipice right now. And I don't want to say that like in some sensational way. It's not hyperbole. It's not. It is to the point that Israel is literally not saying that they are, you know, understanding threats. We're not leaking out right now that intelligence has been shared and that our U.S. troops is, you know, posturing for a potential because there is some intelligence that get. No, it's beyond that. The supreme leader of the Ayatollah Khomeini has issued a statement that Iran intends to attack Israel. Okay, why is this different? First of all, let me just remind you that the majority of the way that Iran works in the world is through its proxies. It gets a tad of plausible deniability. Oh, there's a money trail, sure. Yeah, you know. Oh, gosh, those Houthis. What did they do last weekend? Well, they shot a few missiles, did they? Hezbollah, Hamas. These are all, by the way, proxies of Iran. They are all radical, and they are all Iranian stooges. Every single one of them. They will do the bidding of the Ayatollahs, and then they get paid. That's how they work. They're hired guns for the Ayatollahs. And by doing this on a regular basis, they get to do it in a way that it's not Iran doing it. It's not the actual flag, if you know what I'm saying. Okay. Remember about a month ago? It was next level. All of a sudden, Iran decided it was tired of being embarrassed and upstaged by Israel, and it launched missiles from its own sovereign territory to Israel. Failed miserably. It was a massive barrage. They thought they were going to be out the next day talking about how they fired at the great Satan and, you know, or the little Satan and the great Satan, and they thought they were going to be all like bragging, and their missiles got shot down. It's like there was a wall that they hit on the way over. Jordanian and U.S. and Israeli forces all combined to make sure that barrage didn't make it through. All right, now what? I'm going to play you a soundtrack here in just a minute from Big Rig. I'm going to have that audio clip in a moment. From General Jack Keane, who gave some insight as to why we are where we are. We are now at the place where Israel has already been lashed out at once by a nation state. That's when flag on flag goes to war, all right? It's one thing for them to be striking at Hamas and everybody can go, oh, you're striking the Palestinian people, those poor people, because they can pretend that it's not the flag. You can't do that when the nation state's leaders announce and then conduct the attack themselves. This is a state of war. This is beyond anything that we've seen in recent years. How did we get there? We got there because Iran has been upstaged and Iran has decided that the only way they can handle this is to lash out. And we got to hope it doesn't happen. So here's the thing, just to remind you, of all the members of Hezbollah and Hamas, they're all supported by Iran. How do we know that? Because Iran says so. And oh, by the way, Israel knows it. Israel tracks their movements. Israel just assassinated a major Hezbollah leader inside Iran. In other words, we're so not scared of you, we can so track your movements that we'll come inside Iran and take you out. And they did last week. And so now Iran has issued a statement that it will be lashing out at Israel. And the world is sitting on edge waiting to see what's going to happen. Let's, Big Ray, how much time do I have? Do I have time for that about a minute and a half of audio? Let's go ahead and do it. This is General Jack Keane on Mark Levin's Life, Liberty, and Levin show, talking about the status of where we are. This is yesterday. Go ahead.
It's almost by itself?
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous. I mean, what Israel has done here, you know, quite successfully, in rather rapid fashion, you know, killing Mohammed Deif, the military commander of Hamas, and also Fuad Shukr, you know, a military commander, obviously, of Hezbollah, and now the chief political negotiator and political spokesperson for Hamas, Hanayeya. And the fact that they've accomplished this, and the administration reacts to this, Mark, by wringing their hands, and their number one concern is about escalation, which in of itself shows a sign of weakness. And this has been the problem, you know, from the outset, is that the horrific attack on October the 7th, Iran operationalized immediately all of the other proxies. On October the 8th, Hezbollah began to fire in northern Israel. The Iranian-backed Shia militias in Iraq and Syria, prior to October the 7th, had already fired at U.S. troops 125 times, and they stepped it up from October the 7th on, and the Houthis have effectively shut down the Suez Canal.
Okay, pause it
and
there.
Yet,
pause
to this there. Day,
we're going to come back to that. But here's the thing: what he just described was a hand wringing within the Biden administration, asking for it not to escalate, which is like saying, "I'm scared. Please don't do it." That's what you're seeing on the world stage right now. Is that the nasties in the world right now have no reason to believe the United States is going to be the good guy on the white knight shining or the shining armor on the white horse. All right, they're looking right now at a Biden administration that has six more months in office, where it's pretty much a given that Biden is not making hefty decisions every day. It is. He can't even run for office. Why do we believe that the Situation Room in the White House is fully his domain right now? At the same time, you're watching Israel that is willing to do whatever it takes to cut the head off the snakes. And yet, the chief snake handler, Iran, is now saying, fine, we'll attack you ourselves. And it's because, in part, General Jack Keane says, and I agree with him, we've got an administration that has been wringing its hands and letting it fester. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, we're on a war footing. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. I mean, like, y'all, Alabama. I mean to say this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, before I go any further, I got to share with you guys, I am pretty stoked to have one of our sponsors be Inspire Advisors. And I really would like for y'all to consider checking them out. I mean, check them out, really. So here's the deal. This is a crazy world, but I know what kind of people y'all are. You Right Side Ruffians out there, a lot of you are setting aside what you can for your retirement. You got maybe an investment portfolio you put things in. And then at the same time, you're the kind of people that stand up for what you believe in. But what if you found out the things you were investing in were, oh, by the way, going to things you don't believe in? Happens all the time. So, I mean, you may find out there's stuff in your portfolio that supports stuff like, you know, abortion or even pornography or human trafficking issues. Well, so here's the deal. Maybe it's time for you to meet Paul Breyer and his team of PhDs and other financial experts over there at Inspire Advisors. They are so good at what they do. Inspire Advisors, they will sit down with you for free, and they will meet with you to discuss what they call, and they it's actually an industry thing, biblically responsible investing, BRI. They can help you by looking at what you've got, no fuss, no muss, no charge, no upsell, and to say, yeah, we see this and this and this, and then show you some biblically aligned alternatives you might want to consider. So yes, Inspire Advisors. You want to know more about it. You want to find the financial freedom I'm talking about. Just go to their website and sign up for an opportunity to get together with them. Their website is www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. You can also find them on our website. Go to rightsidemedia.org, rightsidemedia.org. Click on the Right Side Radio tab, the sponsors. Go to their logo. Takes you right to their website. Bottom line is this. Inspire Advisors. You can find them at moneypatternwealth.com. They are godly, conservative, balanced. It's financial freedom, y'all. Inspire advisors. Check them out. All right, let me jump back on this discussion we're having about Israel. I kicked it off in the latter part of the last segment there. But this is no fooling. Stories are out right now that we are looking at the potential for a strike nation on nation. Story here from the Daily Caller. U.S. Embassy has issued an urgent security alert warning its citizens to flee ahead of emergency situations. Flee. Not like hunker down. It's like get out. It says the U.S. Embassy in Lebanon has issued a warning to any American citizens on Saturday to leave the country ahead of any possible emergency situations. The security alert recommended U.S. citizens in Lebanon make plans to leave or, if you have to, shelter in place for an extended period of time. The alert comes as the country anticipates a retaliation effort from Israel following the missile attack from Lebanese-based Hezbollah terrorists. Okay, that's not a small thing. But then you look at this one from Axios. Phil, did you go to Axios? I did. Axios. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken told his counterparts from the G7 countries on Sunday that an attack by Iran and Hezbollah against Israel could start as early as Monday, according to three sources who were briefed on the call. Why it matters, it says, Blinken convened the conference call to coordinate with close U.S. allies trying to generate last-minute diplomatic pressure on Iran and Hezbollah to minimize their retaliation as much as possible. Wait, didn't say don't do it. He said just minimize it. Could you do fewer missiles, please? We'd appreciate that. That's where we are. We're wringing our hands over here. Could we de-escalate, you know, to about a 20%? Mitigate a little bit of damage? Can we do that? Driving the news is Iran and its Lebanese ally Hezbollah have vowed to respond to the assassinations by Israel of Hamas's political leader Ismail Haniyeh in Tehran and Hezbollah military commander Fuad Shukr in Beirut. Behind the scenes, sources have said that Blinken is stressing that the U.S. believes Iran and Hezbollah will both retaliate. Unlike the Iranian attack against Israel back on April 13th, okay, it was more than a month ago, it was April 13th, in which Iran launched nearly 350 attack drones and missiles, the U.S. and their allies worked together to intercept most of them. Blinken said it's unclear what form the retaliation will take this time. Blinken said the U.S. does not know the exact timing of the attacks, but stressed that it could start as early as the next 24 to 48 hours. This is a dateline yesterday, meaning as early as Monday. Secretary of State told his counterparts the U.S. is making efforts to break the escalatory cycle by trying to limit the attacks by Iran and Hezbollah as much as possible and then restrain the Israeli response. Why are you restraining the Israeli response? Israel is just sitting there. This is like Israel getting punched in the face and somebody saying, don't punch back. That's what that is. Blinken told the G7 foreign ministers that the boosting of U.S. forces in the region was for defensive purposes only. By the way, it's a pretty significant escalation of U.S. troops. It's not a small thing. The commander of U.S. Central Command is General Michael Carrilla. He's expected to arrive in. So the CENTCOM commander, Central Command, is the command that has purview over the entire Middle East. The CENTCOM commander himself is going to Israel to finalize preparations with the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. Other countries in the region are also bracing for dramatic escalation and scrambling, trying to prevent it. Jordan's foreign minister, Ayman Safadi, visited Tehran on Sunday in the first such visit in a decade. You've got the Jordanian foreign minister going to Iran himself for the first time in a decade. You got the U.S. Central Command commanding General Michael Carrilla going to Israel himself on today. Anyway. Let's listen to a little bit more of what Jack Keane had to say. Big Rig, audio clip number two, you good on that? Starts at that, 408 mark or whatever it was? General Jack Keane gives some of the best incisive commentary on the state of affairs worldwide, military and foreign policy of anybody that I enjoy his commentary, not only because it's common sense and blunt. I mean, he doesn't mince words, but because it's usually right. So this is more of General Jack Keane being interviewed by Mark Levin on Life, Liberty, and Levin. Go ahead.
Major problem I've been on a congressional commission for 18 months looking at our defense strategy. This is bipartisan. Our unanimous report just came out. And we are saying to the American people through the Congress who we're reporting to is that we are facing the most serious and dangerous challenges as a nation that we have faced since World War II because of China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea all cooperating together. And there's been an erosion of our military capability, but fundamentally there's been an erosion of our will. And our adversaries know it. They see opportunity and they are exploiting our vulnerabilities. And you name the country, Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea, and we all have vivid examples of what they're doing. We're at war in two areas right now, supporting allies, and President Xi is threatening war in a third. And one of the major problems we find with this is we could face a war in the Indo-Pacific region, and then war would break out also in Europe and also in the Middle East that would have to involve us. And that's why we think it's the most dangerous threat since World War II. And this administration, Mark, will not talk about this issue with the American people.
And they won't fund our military adequately.
Stop it there. And say what's crazy, too. I'm sitting here listening to General Jack Keane give commentary on my show, and I look up on the screen, and there's General Jack Keane on Fox News talking about the Middle East and the killing of the Hamas leader and the Hezbollah commander. Did you hear the part he said about being the most dangerous world posture since World War II? What he's saying there is it has broad implications. It is not going to be a spat that rises and falls. They're concerned that it could break out. Let me just remind you guys of some of what we see in the Middle East right now. You've got Iran, which foments trouble for everybody. You've got Hamas, the Palestinian people, which generally speaking have been fomenting trouble for everybody for years. I mean, the Palestinians have been kicked out of Kuwait. They've been kicked out of Saudi Arabia. They've definitely been kicked out of Jordan. The Palestinians assassinated the king of Jordan, if I'm not mistaken, decades ago. They are not welcome in most of these places. Egypt put up a large gate and a barrier to keep, you know, Gaza refugees from coming across into Egypt. All that to say, the moderate, if you can call them that, the moderate Arab nations, definitely Jordan being a moderate, Egypt somewhat, you got Kuwait, which kind of wants to be left alone. You got the UAE, which comes and goes into how it feels, and Saudi Arabia. They all have their warts and blemishes. I'm not trying to portray them as being saints, but what I'm saying is the moderate Arab nations despise Iran. Here's the other piece. Most of those Arab nations I just mentioned are Sunni Arabs. They are Sunni Islam. Iran is Shia Islam. And ne'er the twain shall meet. This is more than Catholics and Protestants. This is like hate and division because you don't believe the Prophet Muhammad is like I do. You see a different lineage. You believe that the Prophet Muhammad was only left behind a direct lineage that can be, you know, whereas others believe that no, good people can also serve in the mosque. And anyway, there's more to it than that. But what I'm bottom line I'm saying is this. The Shia and the Sunni factions of the Middle East hate each other. So you got the undercurrent of the populist side of the Middle East, Shia Sunni. You've got the governmental policies and politics that hate each other, like, you know, in regards to oil, in regards to fomenting trouble, in regards to international borders trying to be secure. And Iran could care less. Saudi Arabia is not going to sit by and let Iran get a nuke. Saudi Arabia is going to get it. We're going to have a nuclear arms race in the Middle East. And you're going to wind up having Israel sitting in the middle of it as the bludgeon for everybody. We had the Abraham Accords under the Trump administration where peace was beginning to break out in the Middle East in ways we had not seen in our lifetime. And right now, what we're looking at is we're on the precipice of all-out war. We're on a war footing. You'll be happy to know, though, the President of the United States, Joe Biden, has scheduled a meeting with his national security team in the Situation Room today. They announced it. It was going to be at 2:30. Like, we can wait till 2:30? That's how this works? You can announce to the world, we're convening, we'll turn on the on-air light. Just, you know, stay quiet in the hallways, because at 2:30 we start our meeting. Everybody ready? Bring the coffee and donuts. 2:30, Situation Room. See you there. That's not how this works. If you're in the Situation Room with a national security team because of a war footing, then you don't announce it to the world. You just go there. And you don't wait and finish up your coffee. You just go there. And you don't put it out there like it's the next meeting. And aren't you proud because we're gathering? Don't we look tough? We got in the Situation Room. No, you look like boobs because you announced it to the world. At 2:30 today, we're going to have a meeting in the Situation Room. It'll have slides and TV screens and everything. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. Big Rig, take me to a break before I blow a gasket, man. We'll come right back and we will talk a little bit more about this and take it to the top of the hour. But terrorists are emboldened right now. Why would they not be? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Giving you all the truth that'll fit on bumper stickers. I'm going to go to the phones right now. Jeff Rowe from Indiana is on the line. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, buddy? We got him. Jeff Rowe, you there? Have we lost Jeff? Big Rig? John's going to take points off your grade for that one. All right, Jeff, call back in if you get a chance. So I'm in this topic right now, the second dipper of the day, the war footing. Listen, you might want to know, first of all, terrorists are said to be emboldened. And that's a claim, but I can imagine it's true. Daily Signal has a piece that came out over the weekend. President Joe Biden has endangered U.S. troops and emboldened terrorists in the Middle East by impeding military aid to Israel, 48 Republican senators said in a letter to the White House last Friday. 48 senators, all last Friday. The lawmakers accused Biden of accommodating Iran and his terrorist allies by delaying some shipments of military supplies to the Israeli military in recent months. So, yes, Israel is very self-sufficient, but yet at the same time requires some assistance like anybody else would. And they've always been our ally. We've had weapons trading agreements with them, foreign weapon sales with them for, you know, decades. And yet here we are in crisis mode, and suddenly the administration is slow rolling the war stock. The lawmakers wrote, while your administration delays, Hamas continues to wage war against Israel. The Houthis continue to attack in the Red Sea, and Hezbollah continues its onslaught in northern Israel. This past weekend, they say, Hezbollah fired Iranian-made missiles into northern Israel, murdering 12 children and injuring dozens more in the single deadliest attack on that part of the country since October 7th's massacre. Your stalling tactics, they say to the president, your stalling tactics are endangering our greatest ally in the Middle East and jeopardizing the lives of our American service members stationed in the region. By the way, report out just a little while ago that a U.S. base in Iraq was rocketed this week. They're urging him to take every available emergency authority to expedite deliveries to Israel. Go one step further. Story from Fox News, Dateline, yesterday. As Iran ramps up its threats to launch a massive attack against U.S. ally Israel and possibly American assets in the region, the rogue regime is on the cusp of producing a nuclear bomb. We've known that for a long time, right? Except Senator Lindsey Graham in recent weeks said after having reviewed a director of national intelligence report on Iran's atomic program said, quote, I believe it's a certainty that if we do not change course, Iran will in the coming weeks or months possess a nuclear weapon. He added, Iran will keep going until someone tells them to stop. It's time to put red lines on their nuclear program. The idea of ambiguity is not working. Lindsey Graham described the findings in the DNI report as unnerving and said that Iran's ability to weaponize material has advanced. Of course, a spokesperson for the State Department said, well, we're doing all that we can and no options off the table. What does that even mean? All right, look, here's the bottom line. This is a huge, hairy deal right now. You got the stock market in the U.S. taking hits and you got things happening here, there, and the other. You got our own issues with politics being polarized. You got everybody posturing. No one wants to, I mean, no one wants to say the wrong thing because it might go badly in the polls. Stop it. Just recognize that where we're at right now is that an almost nuclear Iran, which cries death to America and death to Israel every time it gets a chance, has just said that it intends to nation-on-nation attack Israel as early as today. U.S. forces are posturing. We now have a carrier strike group that is off the shore of Israel. We are looking at situations where neighboring nations are on heightened alert. You've got U.S. personnel being told to evacuate Lebanon. And you got Israel getting slow-rolled the weapon sales that we said they needed. Already, we agreed to it. Now we're not doing it. It's a lot. It's a war footing. It's real. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on this beautiful but hot Monday. Just kind of wrapped up that dipper, but I'm going to clean up some text messages and all that. And then in a few minutes, I'm pretty stoked about this. In a few minutes, we're just going to catch our breath. We are going to catch our breath for a minute. We're going to put aside politics. We're going to stop talking about war footing. And we're going to talk about what does it mean to just get busy living? You know, that monologue, if you caught the beginning of the show that I did, was about the idea that in America, we are allowed to get busy living. And one of the examples of that is going to be a friend of mine who's going to be in studio with us, Chiho Sullivan, who just got busy living because she saw some things she felt like needed to be addressed. And kind of like we've had, you know, folks on before with different ministries and, you know, Moms for Liberty and other, they just get a burr under their saddle and decide, well, you know what? Nobody else is doing it, so I guess I'd better. Just get busy living. So we're going to talk about that coming up after the top of the next break. Let me get a few text messages, though, and I'll see what folks are saying. Randy from Madison. Hey, Phil, seems voter fraud and malfeasance is becoming more and more systemic. Maybe not a conservative conspiracy after all. Our government needs to reel this in or we're going to become Venezuela. I think it's always been there. I think they've got new ways of doing it. And they're getting to the point that what used to be the ability to, you know, pass a few absentee ballots on the local election is now becoming, you know, potential mass fraud, and you got to watch it. Jerry from Decatur says, listening with keen interest today because the signs are lining up concerning the last days. Israel's being threatened by satanic forces, which ultimately end in war on Israel. Get ready, church. Jerry, I am not denying that, brother. So we won't know the time or the date. We won't. Scripture tells us there will be an end time, but that we won't know the end time. Heard my pastor say once before, I don't know what the end times truly looks like, but I think it looks a lot like this. So yes, I would encourage you, go ahead and, you know, sort of check yourself on that. Are you comfortable with where you're going to be? If not, I believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that just merely asking him for forgiveness and accepting him as a savior is the way to prep for all eternity. It's the way to find the peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's the way for us to know that regardless of what happens in the world, we are not of this world and we are secure. So consider that, my friends. Jim from Grove Oak said, hey, Colonel, how close do you think we are to Jesus putting a stop to all this? I feel like I just answered that question. I don't know, bro. Listen, I'm coming in on a white horse, you know what I'm saying? Bruce from Springville says, I wonder how much, talking about the Act Blue stuff, I wonder how much was also acquired from credit card and identity fraud. I think a lot of it was. A lot of it was. And then he also says, Israel's a sovereign nation, and Ben is our commander-in-chief. Ben? Biden and his fellow puppets need to butt out, and Israel settle this once and for all. The only thing their enemies understand is a force against them. Ben, meaning Benjamin Netanyahu. I just got it. Robbie from Manayana says, I truly believe we're about to see Iran lose all their nuclear capabilities going by one of the comments Netanyahu made when he said, quote, when we take out their nuclear capabilities, we'll be protecting you as well, unquote. This is when he last addressed Congress, last week. Yeah. Listen, I believe that's the case. I don't think Israel will allow it to get to that point. They'll strike something.
John from Lexington, South Carolina says FlightAware website's been showing quite a few Russian cargo aircraft flying into Tehran. I heard that. I heard that there are actually shipments of weapons. This says, my fear is the Russians are supplying anti-ship assets to Iran specifically to target U.S. vessels. Yeah. Head on a swivel, people. Head on a swivel. Paul from Decatur says, great dipper on the Middle East. We have both been there. Mosul, 0405. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you, brother. And thanks for your service. And yep, I was there. Same time, Baghdad. Rat from Athens says, Phil, the Act Blue story is a few weeks old. It's funny you think the Democrats will face any consequences for cheating. Remember 2020? We're just going through the motions till the shooting starts. Read that the other day, and I agree. Yeah, Rap, not entirely. Some of those stories I read came out yesterday. So it's new and developing as we speak. John from Harvest, you mean Grandpa Joe is awake? I feel so much better, says John from Harvest. He's awake now. He has a 2:30 appointment in the Situation Room, and we all know it. Tracy from Athens says, signs of the times, ruffians, pray. There you go. Chad from Huntsville says, Phil, I was listening to a old David Gates song, Do You Believe He's Coming? Wow. How prolific, or how prophetic, from 1973. Yeah, bro, I'm telling you. Last couple, Randy, I tell you what, last three. Mel from Huntsville says, in honor of kids going back to school, I'd like to propose a new vocabulary word. No, I can't read that on the air. Thank you very much. Nope, not going to do it. Randy from Madison says, speaking of end times, Google crypto unity coin, one world currency coming soon. I'm telling you, man, if they go for centralized banking on crypto, just go ahead and plan on the mark of the beast coming next. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I saw there's a campaign out there saying Republicans for Harris. So why isn't there a campaign out there saying Democrats for Trump? There is. They just refused to quit calling themselves Democrats or stopped calling themselves Democrats. I saw that. I saw a thing on social media, Republicans for Harris. I got news. They weren't Republicans. If anything, they were rhinos who were just waiting for the chance to. Now, all right, you ready? Everybody for the pod? Okay, here we go. We're going to do a podcast. We're going to call ourselves Republicans for Harris. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're called centrist independents who don't know what you want, and you can't play on one team, and nobody wants you. So go play kickball somewhere else. But yeah, Democrats for Trump, they don't want to call themselves Democrats. They just call themselves for Trump. Ah, sometimes I slay me. All right, listen. I go back to what I said a moment ago before we take this break. It's a war footing. Keep your eyes on it. But nothing takes God off his throne. Nothing. He's got this. And so while I know that we are talking about things that could look like end times, and I was talking during the break with Big Rig, I said, you know, if something blows up in the Middle East, we won't necessarily smell the smoke from here, but we'll feel the impact. We will. It will be a game changer on the world stage if that happens. At the same time, God is still on his throne. And I know that for a fact, and I feel that with every bit of confidence in myself, that God is still on his throne. Nothing shocks him. Nothing surprises him. Nothing rocks his world. So that being said, just keep your eyes on it and recognize that there's going to be people. It's going to cause that sense of stress. And I'm going to encourage you once in a while. And I have to do this. I'll drive home from the show at night, and I want to go turn on the news, see if what I was talking about on the radio is being talked about anymore, and what's the next thing, and what did they say, and how do those pundits say it, and what does it mean, and what should I think about for tomorrow? What are my dippers going to be tomorrow? And then I realize, man, roll the windows down, put on some music, and drive home and just chill for a few minutes and know that God's got this. And then dial back in and pay attention to your times. Sort of like we hear the David's mighty men, right? David's mighty men. Some of the mighty men of David were known as the sons of Issachar. Men who were aware of their times and what Israel should do. What does that mean? They were paying attention, keeping their head on a swivel, and not letting themselves get caught off guard or surprised, and being prepared to do what is necessary to work their way through the time. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take that break. We're going to come back, and man, we're going to change the mode for a little bit, all right? We're going to take a deep breath, and we're going to just catch ourselves talk about getting busy living. Good friend of mine, Chiho Sullivan, going to join us here in the studio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.